Hey everybody, Coach Michael here. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're all doing really well. Back here for another live stream. Just wanted to make sure everyone knew about our website and where you can go to get into a community of people who are either working on their sleep or they're learning how to become a sleep coach themselves. So it's a great little community we have going, and just encourage everyone to explore it, check it out. If you go to the website, you can learn all about it, thesleepcoachschool.com. So check it out. So today we have a couple of emails that I'm going to be going over, and I'll be taking some of your comments if I can get to them after the emails here. So I've got a couple emails, and let's jump into that right now. The first is an email from Sam. By the way, emails can, you can send the email straight from the website. So if you go to that website, thesleepcoachschool.com, right at the very top, there's a link. You click on that and you can submit a question that we will answer in one of our almost daily live streams here on this channel. So really encourage you to do that. So, okay, back to the emails here. First from Sam. I've been following your YouTube channel for a long time. Thank you, Sam. And I'm able to make good progress with all of your suggestions and tips. Following are two issues I want to discuss with you. One, I will watch some TV shows on TV till I feel sleepy and can't hold my eyes to shut. That's when I will switch off the TV and try to sleep. Some days I will fall asleep within 30 minutes, but some nights I will become sleep anxious and will take a long time to fall asleep. And two, I will always feel anxious in the morning about my sleep after I wake up, no matter if I slept well or not, and can't fall back to sleep, even though I feel sleepy on days with not enough sleep. What will be your take and suggestions on the above situations? Keep doing good work. Your channel is a lifesaver. Me, thanks. Well, thanks, Sam, for being following our channel so closely. That's great. Love helping people with questions. And so with this one, let's see, you asked two questions mainly. The first is watching shows on TV till you feel sleepy. And then you turn off TV, try to sleep. Some days it's easy, some nights it's easy, some not. So that's just kind of, you know, the nature of sleep, really. I picked up on the word try. I think I saw when you were making that first question there. Where is it? There it is. And try to sleep. Okay, trying does not work. So we always have to remember that. And it can be a really kind of insidious thing that when we start applying effort to getting to sleep or back to sleep. Sleep is 100% passive. You can't force it. And so the TV can kind of be a nice distraction for some people. They get sleepy. And then when the TV goes off, which sometimes can be kind of an alerting experience, you know, you're kind of like a big, you know, the big screen kind of just suddenly goes off and now the room's like suddenly dark. So that can be a problem, but then it becomes effort. So some days easy, some days not. Probably because the nights that it was easy, you were not focused on sleep. You're focused on something else. And then nights where maybe it takes a little bit longer, you then begin to focus on sleep, get anxious about sleep. Why is it not easy? It was easy last night. It's not tonight. You know, all these kinds of things that start running through your mind. And then sleep gets really elusive. So I like to use that word a lot. I'm going to talk about sleep and insomnia. Sleep gets elusive when you apply effort to it. So, you know, it's kind of normal some nights to have it a little easier than other nights, but you want to make sure you're never turning it into an effort. You know, if it feels like it's kind of been a while, don't lay there and quote unquote, keep trying. Best to do something else, sit back up, you know, maybe do something, you know, watch a little more TV if you want to. I'm kind of a fan of the analog idea, which is, you know, paper-based or something like that, or maybe listen to something, whatever you like. The key is that you enjoy it and you just forget about sleep. You know, you're just doing something else. And then if you're sleepy enough, sleep will happen. Okay, so then the second part of your question here is, I will always feel anxious in the morning about my sleep after I wake up, no matter if I slept well or not, and can't fall back to sleep even though I feel sleepy on days with not enough sleep. Okay, so it's kind of the same thing. Feeling anxious about your sleep even if you did sleep, I don't quite follow that one. But if you want to make sure you're doing a couple things. You want to make sure you're experiencing the timeless night, so you're not checking the time, you know, what time you wake up in the morning, you know, is it early, is it closer to morning, what time is it? You don't want to get into any of that, so avoiding the time altogether is the best strategy for that. And you want to have as much of a methodical night as possible. There's a phrase some sleep coaches will use, I use it sometimes, called sleep like a robot, you know, and it kind of means you go through the night as methodically as possible, methodically in a good way, not like, you know, like you can't enjoy the time that you're awake here and there during the night, you know, methodical as in you're not trying to figure a lot of things out. So there's like a method, and it means you should never be trying to force your sleep in bed. And if you need to sit up or leave the bed, you should not be doing anything with the intent that it's going to put you back to sleep. So that's what sleep like a robot really means. So it's not doing a specific thing. It's doing something you enjoy. That's pure and simple what it is. You know, don't worry about all the temperature and the light and all this kind of stuff. Do something you enjoy. Obviously not, you know, too, you know, vigorous, like don't repaint your garage or something like that, you know, but something you enjoy, no time involved. And you might find that the time awake at night makes it, you don't get as anxious. And you get up in the morning and you just, it's time to get up, you know, your alarm goes off, it's time to get up. So you get up and you just get on with your day and call it good. And that's the whole kind of methodical sleep like a robot idea. And so that might be something worth trying there. See if you can make some progress. So we will go back, and that was Sam, right? Yep. Thank you, Sam, for your questions. And thanks for supporting the channel. Okay, now we have an email from Bibita. I've heard a lot about the book BLIS for Insomniacs by Alan Baker. The book is not available in my region for purchase. Can you provide the summary/insights to the book in any of your upcoming podcasts? Yes. Okay. So first things first, I don't have the book, and I don't know anyone around in my circles that has read it. I did go to the website and look at the description of it, and it has something to do with a gentleman who has developed what he's calling a way to activate the sleep switch. And that's kind of a red flag in my book. You know, the idea that you can switch sleep on and switch sleep off. You can definitely switch sleep off. That's called an alarm clock. But you can't, in my mind, do something specific to make yourself sleep. And that's the sense that I got when I read through the website about this BLIS technique. Everyone, of course, is free to check out whatever they want when it comes to sleep. But I really caution everyone. You know, sleep is 100% passive, and thinking about the gas brake model is really, I think, the most helpful thing to do. And that is, you know, your gas is the sleep drive, and that is natural. It builds while you're awake. And then the brake side of things is often anxiety. It's often things that we do to try to initiate sleep. And so things can become efforts. Things can become part of that breaking side of the equation. So, you know, I've been in the field a long time, you know, 30 plus years. I've seen a lot of things come and go, a lot of techniques, a lot of gadgets, a lot of, you know, medications, supplements, all kinds of things. I've seen them come and go. And what has lasted the whole time that I've been in this field is the ability to not focus on sleep, and to learn through education and experience, learn to befriend wakefulness at night, learn to be comfortable and even kind of enjoy the time that you're awake at night. Because once you stop trying to sleep, the desire to sleep going down, it's a very paradoxical thing. That's when sleep gets less elusive. So I caution anyone who's pursuing reading about, learning about these kinds of techniques, whether they're kind of this mental side of things or gadgets or supplements or anything like that. I caution people strongly that, they if something was really, truly effective for everyone and it was not, thought change or behavioral change, it would be used by, 10% of the adult population, and there wouldn't be such a thing as insomnia. So I just caution people. It might be interesting for someone to read about, but I caution about it being like a thing that you should be doing if you're having trouble sleeping. You want to educate yourself. You want to learn kind of this NATO philosophy, the NATO principles, which is not being attached to the outcome. And that all those techniques are really how you keep yourself from applying effort to your sleep, and you keep your foot off the brake side of it at night, and then sleep gets easier. It gets less elusive. So, that's just my experience in all these years. I've not read the book. I've not delved into it too deeply, this BLIS technique, but I can just tell you that there've been techniques that have come and gone, and I've read about some of them, and they don't stick around really. So, okay. So that's all I was going to say about that. So, So let's see here. First, if anyone wants to join in live and you want to ask a question or something, I'd be happy to check the comments to see if anyone has anything specific. I wanted to talk just for a moment again about this whole idea of doing things specifically to sleep. I think that's kind of a bigger topic. We call them sleep efforts usually. That's the phrase we like to use. And when you lay down to sleep, you are in a position to sleep, but there's never a guarantee. And I think you have to have that sort of as the attitude going into it, as you're just going to see what's going to happen. You feel sleepy, and that's a key. You got to recognize true sleepiness. Do you feel truly sleepy, or are you kind of tired or just bored, or you just think you should get to bed because you need your sleep and all these kinds of thoughts for, going to bed in the first place? You want to make sure you're truly sleepy. And that the best I can come up with is you start to struggle to stay awake. You lose focus, like mental focus, on what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, you start to have trouble concentrating or just staying in focus with it. So reading, you're rereading, listening to something, you're rewinding it. You don't remember what was just said or what music, if it was playing, you forget what you were just listening to. These kinds of mental lapses are really the key true signs of true sleepiness. You want to feel a little bit of that, put yourself in a sleeping environment, in bed, probably light off, flat, comfortable, all that kind of stuff. And then you just see what happens. And, I like the idea of kind of taking your mind somewhere just visually. That's not a gimmick. That's not a proprietary technique or something. It's using the human brain's natural ability to visualize and imagine. So I just think that's the best thing to do. Go to something in your mind that you enjoy. Maybe it can be like a vacation or a book or something. It can be something, it can be something, anything. You're working on a project in the yard or something, and you want to just visualize it, or anything. You just go there, and that in a way that is their best chance to not focus on sleep. Because when you focus on sleep, you are then trying to sleep, and trying doesn't work. So you want to be careful, because a lot of things can be slippery slopes as far as sleep goes. And that'd be true at the start of the night or later in the night. It doesn't matter. If you're awake in bed, you should be kind of somewhere else in your mind. And then if you find that that's kind of difficult, then that's a cue that maybe you should do something else. Leave the bed. Okay, we got a comment here from Dara. Thank you, Dara. Do you recommend taking tryptophan pills? Thank you. kind of a timely question, I guess, because in the US with the Thanksgiving holiday, everyone eats turkey, and everyone has been told since they were a child in this country that turkey has lots of tryptophan, and that's why everyone falls asleep at Thanksgiving. So I'm not sure if that's why you asked the question, but it just kind of came to my mind. First, no medical advice here, right? We can't tell anyone to take anything or not take anything. It's between you and your doctor. So I can't recommend whether you should take something or not. Tryptophan. Tryptophan is an amino acid, and it's found in higher quantities in certain foods. Obviously, it can be put in a pill or supplement. It's not a prescription in the United States anyways. It's a precursor. I think your brain turns it into serotonin, then melatonin or something. Sorry, I'm like forgetting my neural pathways and neurochemicals and all that, but it's involved in that process. Is there clear evidence that taking tryptophan pills puts you to sleep consistently, reliably, for long periods of time? No. People have different reactions. Some people you give them a sugar pill and they feel relaxed. You say, oh, take this, you'll feel relaxed, and they feel relaxed. So when they compare it to like a placebo, there's no difference. I've never read a really good study on that that says, yeah, it works, and this is what makes you sleepy. Remember, it's kind of that slippery slope thing I was talking about. You want to be careful if you're taking any supplement. Little side note here, they're not regulated in the United States anyways by the FDA. So it's kind of it's considered like a supplement. And you want to be careful because it's still, it's a chemical. In this case, it's an amino acid. Melatonin for that matter, speaking of that, is a hormone. So, you want to be careful taking this stuff. Don't just treat it as kind of like, oh, I'll just take a bunch of it and see if it really knocks me out. That's really dangerous. Don't do that. Ask your doctor about anything you are considering taking, whether it's a supplement or asking for any kind of prescription. So those are just some thoughts about tryptophan. It's in high quantities in certain foods. Like I mentioned, the turkey thing, that's like the classic thing. That's not why people fall asleep, but after a big Thanksgiving meal, which often happens in the mid-afternoon, which is earlier than most people in the United States eat for dinner, and it's too many calories, and there sometimes is alcohol mix involved and all kinds of factors, which is why people tend to get sleepy. Other things that have tryptophan that I can just think of off the top of my head, I think eggs are pretty high in it. I think like green leafy vegetables are high in it, but it's just like, you don't need supplements to sleep well. I'll just leave it at that. It's not the answer to insomnia. Be careful about taking supplements. If you have any questions, ask your doctor about that. So, okay, Dara, hopefully that was some information for you about your question there. As far as just other comments, I've just been kind of on this, working with clients and stuff. I've been kind of talking a little bit about the idea of something inducing sleep or like a way to, kind of make sleep happen. And it's not possible. Every conversation along those lines, it just ends in something that just seems intriguing and then becomes, another effort. So the best strategy is not to go down that rabbit hole. If you can catch yourself early on before you've gone through a myriad of efforts to sleep, I'm glad. I don't want you to go down that rabbit hole. It's a long, dark rabbit hole, and you can be lost for a long time. And there's a lot of anxiety associated with that, frustration, and really not, just really bad feelings. So you want, if you can, you got to just tell yourself, the answer to sleep is not a specific, gadget, pill, supplement, weird yoga technique, mental gymnastic thing that you've learned. Those aren't the answers to ongoing sleep. Sleep is best in the long run if it's kept very simple. So when you start to add a lot of things to it, you're making it less simple. It's getting more complicated. And that's a classic feature of chronic insomnia. When you talk to a client for the first time and you ask maybe a question like, oh, what have you done for sleep? What have you tried? And it often is a long list. And, you know, every once in a while, a client will say, yeah, and then this really is, you know, seems to be working. And then I say, you know, problem solved. And they usually, it's kind of like they admit usually, well, no, not all the time. And, you know, and I kind of say, well, you know, there might be other things to try. So education is always first. Education about sleep and education about why insomnia happens. And I'm talking about ongoing insomnia, not the once in a while, you know, have a poor night. That's normal. That's completely 100% normal. If you are worried and upset about something and then you have trouble sleeping, you've just proven that you're normal. It's not, it is not something that everyone can completely avoid. And make sure, you know, and you're not thinking your insomnia is caused by an external thing like, maybe you have a new job, you know, and it's a brand new job and you're kind of worried about it. You're a little anxious about it. That's normal. You know, you're going to be thinking about it. That's really, you know, a time when you might just say, hey, you know what? I might not sleep as much for a few nights here while I kind of get settled in and learn the ropes in my new job or, anything like that. Any temporary thing that causes maybe some stress or anxiety is probably, there's a good chance it's going to negatively affect your sleep. And that would be true with anyone, even without all the predisposing factors, you know, for insomnia, like the 3P model we talk about, the predisposition. Even someone who doesn't really have a predisposition, if it's like a big stressful thing that's happening for a little while during the day, that can clearly, make nights a little bit short. So what do you do? Well, you know, life happens. So it's not like you can suddenly turn off the stress, but you don't want to avoid it. You don't want to like do things to mask it. You don't want to run away from it. You know, you want to address it during the day, work on things as best you can. And then at night, don't get your expectations too high with your sleep. You know, you might have a short night here or there, perfectly fine. You're going to be 100% fine. It doesn't affect you negatively with your health or anything like that. You do the set it and forget it idea, the methodical night, keep time out of your night, all these kinds of things. And you let natural sleepiness get strong and then you take your foot off the brake. And if you're awake at night, enjoy the time, do something you like. Don't be kind to yourself. That's another big one. You know, don't beat yourself up over this. Be kind to yourself. You know, sleep is a long-term thing. You know, you've probably heard me say this before, so you're going to sleep every night of your life, so there's no hurry. So, you know, you just take a long-term approach. I was talking to one of our members actually about kind of like this idea recently, and he said, he was talking about how it's interesting that we talk about sleep kind of on a night-to-night basis. And when I was talking to him, I was kind of like talking about the long-term nature of sleep. You know, it's like it happens every night. So maybe it's not something that should be really focused on at all night to night. It's more like a, you know, week to week or month to month or something like that. So, you know, just keep that kind of that attitude, that approach, that perspective, and you'll be fine. You'll be totally fine. Okay, Dara has another question. Let's see. What if the cause is psychological? It depends, you know, it really depends. Obviously with sleep, you want to stabilize anything or take care of anything that is obviously affecting your sleep. Here's a silly example is, you know, I don't know. Let's say, every night, something happens at 3 a.m. and, you know, it wakes you up because it's really loud. Well, that's not like an insomnia thing. It's like something you have to kind of take care of. And you know, maybe it's earplugs, maybe it's sleep in a different room, maybe it's go to the source of the noise and see what that's all about, you know, that kind of thing. So just about anything can cause some insomnia. But it doesn't go the other way around, right? Insomnia doesn't cause anything. So for psychological causes, those can be tricky because a lot of times doctors will prescribe medications to treat certain psychological conditions, disorders, and some of them have effects on sleep. So you want to talk to your doctor about that and see if you are, if your doctor has the right things for you to be taking, and always share your experiences with any medications. Otherwise, you know, if it's psychological, you know, do things during the day to try to improve your mood. You know, that's just good all the way around. I don't know what else is in that question, Dara. If you want to ask another one, you're welcome to. But, you know, it's still the same as far as, you know, the night. You want to, you know, do all the things that I've just been talking about. Excuse me. And the natto philosophy really explains it very well, where you reduce that desire to sleep, and then sleep is more likely to happen. It's just the way it works. And learning about that, those natto techniques, and also about just normal sleep, can be really helpful. You know, normal sleep it's really an interesting thing, first of all. But second of all, like, you know, learn things that are normal. It's normal to not fall asleep right away. That's normal. It's normal to wake up multiple times every night. That's normal. It's normal to have dreams and sometimes remember them, sometimes not. It's just like you have to learn kind of like that normal side to sleep, and things that make insomnia go from normal short-term insomnia into something that you should be you want to work on, which would be the chronic ongoing type of insomnia. So it always starts with education, and that's what our school is all about. So you really, you know, go to the school, check it out. There's some great material there, a lot of great videos. There's free stuff on there you can start with and see if you like the approach. And then if you do, you can become a member if you like. And we'd love to have you as a member. We have a great group of members right now. It's a growing group that we have, and a really interesting mix, because we have people that are learning to be sleep coaches, or they already are doing sleep coaching and they want more guidance on that side of things. And then we have people that are looking to teach themselves how to sleep better. So kind of that self-coaching side of things. So we have both sides of it, and they're interacting with each other. And Coach Daniel and I are moderators. So I think it's just a great format, and super excited about it. And I'm covering this week on the group, the text for the members of our program. So, but I was doing that right before I came on here. So it's really great. And I just get to see, you know, think about their comments and offer some guidance and suggestions and really help them along. So that's the website, thesleepcoachschool.com. Let's see, what else do we have? We have a message from Akshay. Thank you for your message. Is it normal to not sleep for a day just because you are unable to? Just happened to me recently. I'm assuming you mean not normal to sleep for a night, I guess. Just because you're unable to, that can happen. Yeah, that can happen. You know, there's no guarantee of natural sleep. There just isn't. And so the sooner you realize that, the sooner that you can, you know, something like that, an experience like that happens, and it just, you don't have to go figure it out. You know, if you've ruled out obvious things, clearly obvious things, like, you know, I had some silly example I used a few minutes ago. I can't remember what it was, but like, I don't know, you ate something that didn't agree with you. You didn't sleep very well. You hardly slept at all. That's just something that you can rule out. You know, there's a clear thing there. So when all that stuff is kind of ruled out, then it just can happen sometimes, you know, and you want to take that good methodical approach, get on with your day, do things during the day like nothing happened at night. Like, I think one of the best things people can do is forget about the night they just had, because if you are focused on it and you're dwelling on it, it's probably going to negatively affect future nights. So that would be something to think about there for you, actually. Let's see. Do you have any information on fatal familial insomnia, specifically treatment? Not specifically here. We get a lot of questions about sporadic or fatal familial insomnia. And I just my canned answer now. I don't go into it because it's not an insomnia thing. If you read about the symptoms, it's sort of like all these other neurological things happen. You know, it has to be ruled out from Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease. There's just so much, and all I can say is go to the playlist. This should be in this YouTube description, and especially there's one on that, and specifically watch Daniel's interview of Casper, whose mother passed away from SFI, I think it was, and you will learn a ton about it. So that would be my normal answer to any question about FFI or SFI. Let's see, back to Akshay. Yes, for a night. Sorry. Let's see. Is it normal to? Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean sleep for a day. Yes, for a night. So hopefully some of those comments will be helpful for you, Akshay. Yeah, it can happen. So again, no guarantee of sleep. Don't ever put that pressure on yourself. Be kind to yourself. Sleep is completely passive. Learn ways to not focus on it, and that's really what it's all about. Okay, and back to Max. You're welcome, and thank you, Max. We get a ton of questions about that, and so I would really encourage you to watch the video of Casper. It was about a month ago that Daniel did that interview, and it just explains so much, and you will have a very much better perspective on the whole thing. Okay, I think that'll be it. We've gone about half an hour here, so I'm going to sign off. Thank you, everyone, for joining in, and hope to see you at the school, and hopefully see you as a member. Love to have you, and it's a great group, and we're really excited about it. And Daniel will be on this week, probably a couple times, and then he and I will be back on Friday in the morning, U.S. Pacific time, for a joint live stream that we do every Friday morning. So until then, you guys take care, be kind to yourself, be kind to others, and I look forward to seeing you again. Take care. Bye-bye.